Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Last time we were together, we looked at the first part of this chapter, and in story after story after story, saw that there was a thread of needing God's mercy. Well, today we're going to look at the last episode in chapter 18 and the first episode in chapter 19. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you the main point right now, right up front. The main point today is that the Lord is merciful. The Lord is merciful. Now let's look at his word together. This is God's word. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." May the Lord grant us understanding and bless this reading from his holy word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
The Lord is merciful. You have a blind man who's sitting by the road begging. That's his routine. He wasn't sitting by the road begging because Jesus was coming. He sat by the road and begged day after day. But on this occasion, he could tell that there was a lot going on. This wasn't normal traffic. And so he asked, what was happening? And the explanation? Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So? Well, no, this man had heard about Jesus. And this man not only recognizes that Jesus is something special, but he calls him by a title that recognizes Jesus as the Messiah. Son of David. That's what they'd been waiting for. The Messiah was going to be the descendant of David. They didn't have a king sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. There wasn't a throne in Jerusalem. The Romans had had them under their thumb for generations. And yet, the longing in the heart of believing Jews was that God was still going to keep his promise and restore the kingdom to Israel. And there would be a descendant of David who would sit upon his throne. And this blind man saw more about who Jesus is than most of the people who had their sight. He'd heard enough about this Jesus of Nazareth that he recognized him as the descendant of David. They said, from Nazareth. That's not where David's from. Messiah wasn't supposed to be born in Nazareth. He wasn't. He was born in the city of David, Bethlehem. How did this man know that? I guarantee you he had not studied the genealogy carefully. But from what he had heard about Jesus, he was saying, this has got to be the one. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This was not the demoniac crying out, I know who you are. This was a person who knew his own need and recognized that Jesus is the one who can meet our needs. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Isn't it sad that oftentimes religious people, I mean, they led the way. They're leading the parade that Jesus is walking in. And yet they are an obstacle to Jesus' work. They're an obstacle to people being able to get to Jesus. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. He didn't tone it down. He shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? This is a question Jesus asks a lot. You will find it recurring. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? I would suggest that he is asking you that this morning. What do you really want? I'd like to be taller. I would like to be prettier. What is it that really you long for? Often we long for things that don't matter. This man answered honestly. He didn't say, well, Lord, it's okay that I don't see. I believe that this is just the way that God intends it, but I would like to be a more spiritual person. That's not what he said. He answered Jesus honestly. You know what I really want? I want to be able to see. I want to be able to see. This man's defining characteristic in terms of how the world saw him was that he couldn't see them. And he didn't like that. He wanted to be like the rest of the people, able to see. You know, it would be more convenient if you could see. I've got a precious friend, Dick Cannon, who hasn't seen since childhood. He can't see. He's one of the most insightful people you could meet, has a tremendous sense of humor. We were in the Family Life Center at our church in Atlanta when the power went off, and there were no windows in the gym. And I mean, it's pitch dark, instantly. There was a church social going on in there. People were standing around, and I mean, we couldn't see each other. Dick was standing right by my wife and me, and Dick said, what happened? Because he could hear the gasping and murmuring. He said, what happened? And I said, well, the power just went out, and so now it's totally dark in here. Dick said, oh, no, what'll we do? Thank you, Dick. That was a wonderful moment of levity. Eventually, the power came back on. But Dick lives his life that way. When it was totally dark in the room, it was no change for him. We should have asked Dick to lead us out. We wouldn't have been able to follow because we couldn't see. So Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And the man answers honestly. He says, I want to be able to see. Lord, I want to see. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and said, thank you so much. I've got so much I've been waiting to do. No. He received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Then Jesus enters the city of Jericho, and as he's passing through, there's a man there named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. Not just a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. And he was wealthy. And he was hated. People knew who he was. He was the one who worked for the Roman government, a traitor to Israel. And he wanted to see Jesus. He'd heard about Jesus, didn't know Jesus, hadn't met him. He wanted to get a look at him. And he couldn't. Once again, he couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. The people surrounding Jesus were blocking his view. Does that echo anything about what was going on up above? The people who were leading the parade were telling the blind man to be quiet. Oftentimes, just guard against this. If you're in the parade, if you're in the crowd, try to be sensitive to those who aren't. Try to recognize that some of them may actually be wanting to see Jesus, and all they can see is you. So what do they see? Show them Jesus. This man, being short, could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. I remember in the 1980s, I was preaching in the Philippines on a little island. And when I preached an open air meeting, they had hooked up a loudspeaker and so forth, and some electric lights, and I was amazed that there were people all up in the trees. There was a large crowd on the ground, but a lot of people were, I mean, adults, not kids, but adults, men and women, up in the trees, because that's where they could get a better view. That's what's happening here. But the guy who's up in a tree is a wealthy man. He didn't walk into the crowd and start passing out money and saying, clear a path for me, will you? He just ran ahead. That's how eager he was. There are people who are eager to see Jesus, and we should know that. He ran ahead, climbed a tree in order to get a look at Jesus. But when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Who was shocked? Everybody, okay? Zacchaeus was shocked. How did Jesus know his name? Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name. Jesus knew what Zacchaeus did for a living. Jesus knew Zacchaeus' hunger. Jesus knew that he was to be part of the family. Jesus knows everything about you. Jesus knows what's going on in your life right now. He knows where you've come from. He knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow. He knows everything about you. And Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. And the Father told Jesus, therefore, that that guy, Zacchaeus, needs for you to come to his house. Well, Zacchaeus was shocked. And the people around were shocked. But Jesus always did what the Father told him to do. He didn't do what the crowd expected or what the people wanted. He did what the Father told him to do. And Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him gladly. He didn't say, oh, well, listen, I'm totally unprepared for this. I don't even know what's being served today. No, we're going to make this happen. This is unbelievable. There's a parade coming through town, and the reason for the parade wants to come to my house for lunch. Can we make that happen? I think so. So they go to Zacchaeus' house. And the people saw this and said, isn't that wonderful? The Lord is merciful. No. There are some people that we don't think the Lord ought to have mercy on. I mean, really. What is God doing saving that person? You know what that person has done? God does better than you do. Better than he does. God knows everything about each of us. And God, our Lord, is merciful. So all the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Oh. Quick show of hands, how many of you in here have sinned? Okay. You know why you did that? Because you're a sinner. You didn't sin and God said, oh no, now they're a sinner. We're born in sin. It's something no one has to teach us. My parents didn't work on me when I was a preschooler to make sure that I knew how to be selfish. That was never part of the parenting plan. God loved me, a sinner. God loves you. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now, I give half my possessions to the poor. He wasn't saying, that's my track record. He's saying, this is the way it is going forward. As of right now, I'm going to give away half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. I want you to note something. That's what salvation looks like. It's totally undeserved. It's not something we earn. We're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. But real saving faith works. You and I are saved, and God has a purpose. And that purpose includes good works that he's prepared beforehand for us to do. That's what Ephesians 2 says. We're not saved by our works. But if we're saved, we do what pleases God. Sometimes I think I do what pleases God, but other times I know I don't. Well, you're a work in progress, as I am. We're not saved by what we do, but when God saves us, more and more and more, we're eager to do what he wants. This man too is a son of Abraham, Jesus said. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. A number of years ago, I had the privilege of working with the Billy Graham Organization on a national project. I was told that out on the West Coast, a group of very well-respected evangelicals were concerned that in our materials, we talked about lost people. And they said, you need to understand that that term, lost people, or the lost, or a person being lost, would be offensive out here. I want you to think about that for a moment. We don't want to offend. Next time you see someone drowning, don't refer to them as drowning. That could be offensive. Might make them feel that you view them as inadequate. You could say that they're aquatically challenged. Okay? Now, what is wrong with talking like Jesus? You know what Jesus says about people who aren't saved? They're lost. That's a compliment. The difference between lost and trash is that lost has value and can be found. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to ridicule what's lost. He didn't come to despise what is lost. He came to seek what is lost and to save what is lost. If you're lost, ask for mercy. If you know I've messed up and I've tried to change and I just can't fix me, ask him to save you. Not just forgive you, save you. If you call out to the Lord to have mercy on you, he will have mercy on you. And you will never be the same. He will change you, transform you from the inside out. You're not just forgiven, you are set free. And you are empowered to follow him. The Lord is merciful. Ask him. Ask him to save you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.